To call to order, May 20th, regular board meeting, Rancho Marietta Community Services District. Roll call, please.
Director Janko.
Here.
Director Butler.
Here.
Welcome. Director Mabee.
Here.
Director Merchant.
Here.
Welcome to the call.
I'd like to consider a adoption of the agenda as written. Do I have a motion?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you. Do we have a second? Thank you.
I'll second it.
That was John and
Linda.
Can we have a vote? Do we need a vote on that?
Let's just do it because Mr. Shanahan's on the phone.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Mabee?
Yes.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Thank you.
Item three, appointment of the new director. Basically, we're down to two options the way I see it. Option one would just go in the process order of taking whatever candidate was next in the election result process. That's option one. Option two then is if we don't have a majority to go that way, by default, we would send it to the County Board of Supervisors and have them make a decision, probably going off of the established process of the results of the election from last year in order. So do I have a motion for either option, or do we want to take, we handle it ourselves before kicking it to the County Board of Supervisors?
I move that we take it to the County Board of Supervisors. Hello?
That's fine. Is that a motion?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Thank you. We have a second. Could you do a roll call vote for me, Amelia?
Yes, I will gladly do that. And I just wanted to confirm that that was Linda who made the motion and John Merchant.
Yes, ma'am.
Made the motion.
Yeah, you
got it.
And President Mabee.
Yes.
Director Janko.
No.
No. Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Item four, the consent calendar. Do I have a motion to accept all items on the consent calendar?
Tim, I'm sorry. Yes. I have a question on the communications meeting.
Okay.
Is this the place to do it?
Do you mean the draft agenda, or I mean the draft minutes?
Yes.
Yeah, this is the place.
Okay. On the June 4th Communications and Technology Committee meeting minutes, there's a comment that we had named the committee, and we have not.
Okay. Amelia, would you take the edit of that, and we can fix that? Does everything else look good to you from your concern, Linda?
Yeah.
Okay.
We are having a meeting tomorrow morning, if anybody's interested.
Okay, I had something.
This is Diana. You are.
This is Diana Weber.
Hello.
Hello. And I had it was in the May 20 meeting in finance. It said that I commented on how we were doing the tax. But to be clear, my comment was that we're not doing what the Measure J said. And because the discussion had wandered off, it ended up getting buried under something to do with Rancho Marietta Marketplace in the minutes. And I just wanted to clarify that it had to do with the 2% tax, the Measure J stuff, and that we're not following it.
I understand. I'll make that correction.
Thank you.
Tim, I don't have anything to remove from the list, but I do have a question on the bills paid listing.
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering if someone can tell me about the check to MRK Development and whether or not we know if it was cashed or not.
Mike.
That would either be Tom or that would be...
me.
Just as a point of order for everybody, if you're not engaged in speaking, would you please mute yourself? Or Amelia, you might have to start muting people.
Uncharged bills?
Oh, sorry. Tim, this is Bob Kyle, who the check went to. So
yes, Kyle.
I can tell you that I did put it in the bank.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Randy, did that answer your question?
Yep, thank you.
Okay. Not hearing any others, do we have a motion to accept the consent calendar?
Yeah, I'll do that, Tim.
That was John. Do we have a second?
Second.
Randy seconded. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Mabee?
Yes.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Staff reports, General Manager's report.
Yeah, good morning and thank you, Board of Directors.
Hi, it's Amelia. The General Manager's report was added and so you can find it on the internet on our website and you can also see it on my screen.
Thank you, Amelia. So key to what we're doing right now is we're trying to get our office ready to reopen. And so staff have been attending meetings through CSDA to make sure that we have all our ducks in a row. Key to that, some of the things that SCGA or CSDA wants us to do is consider staggering work schedules, which is something we've already done. We've ordered some temperature devices, or we're going to order temperature devices so we can check our temperatures as they come in the door. We have a sneeze guard we've selected for the main counter that allows people at the point in time to come in, pretty much what you see everywhere nowadays. We're considering them for the two guard shacks as well. We have cleaning the office public area surfaces 3 times a day. We have masks and gloves available. We've received the wall-mounted hand sanitizer, so we'll have them throughout all the district office locations. We're gonna work on transitioning how we're going to bring our employees back, document how we're gonna have the workplace safety in order, and we're gonna be meeting with our union reps to make sure that they're satisfied with what we've done to prepare. All the while, we're gonna review this with the district's attorney, Dick Shanahan, making sure that, you know, we address training and the employee concerns as well. So that's that update. Does anybody have any questions? We're actually following the county order. So until the county opens up the size of gatherings, I don't see that we can really open up our office.
Very good, continue on.
Okay, the Rockio Smart Irrigation Controller Program, so far 75 residents, Rancho Marietta, have bought these things. They're about halfway through their stock right now. So it's important that if you want to take advantage of this program that you go to that RWA website. I looked at it, it's very simple. And it's a great price for a device that works very well for maintaining your water, watering your yard and such. Some of the stuff I've been doing, I've been on the job now 17 days. I've met with the staff at the country club to go over some of their concerns and to start developing a regular meeting schedule. I met with the Murrieta Village general manager and president of the association this morning I've had lots of communications with the interim GM at the RMA, and she's busier or as busy as me, so we haven't actually met. We just constantly touch bases. And then I've been made introductions for the groundwater, and I attended the Slough House resource meeting. I haven't done anything with the RWA so far, the Regional Water Authority. And then we've done a lot of work on the 670 finances and services agreement discussions, both internally and externally. And then with that being said, we've moved a couple of items that used to be called out separately into my management report just for efficiency's sake. So at this section, I'm going to point out that the General Manager Summit was canceled. So far, the Leadership Academy in South Lake Tahoe is still scheduled, and the Board Secretary Clerk's Conference is still scheduled. If those go, I suggest we take advantage of some of that training. We've done some training on opening up how public employees should prepare. Code Red is a system that is like a reverse 911 system. It's something we used when we had a resident go missing. But Amelia's now taken the class on this software, and I think we're gonna have more functionality available to us in the next few weeks or months. And then Amelia attended a Brown Act compliance during a pandemic. So that's other district business conference and educational opportunities. And a big announcement is Mamie Chayinsky has been promoted from office assistant, where she's been diligently doing the great work of the front counter and making friends with everybody, to Tanya's old position as the accounting assistant. So major kudos for Mamie. She was very competitive. She was the most prepared by far to do this job. So congratulations, Mamie.
Yay, Mamie.
And with that, I wrap up the general manager's report.
Excellent, thank you. We have the administration finance report, please.
This is Cindy Chow. Good evening, everybody. So I will take over from Tom. Tom is promoted to general manager, and congratulations. I will be.
Can't hear you.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to start with the residential water consumptions. Residential water usage in May 2020 was 9% over May 2019 last year, and 58% over last month, April 2020. April 2020 was a month, all the water consumptions in May, April 2020 was unusually small and compared with prior years. I'm still trying to figure out why. It might have something to do with the pandemic or there's a system glitch. So then, and also in May 2020, 100 more homes receiving water services than last year. And moving on to commercial consumptions, commercial water usage in May 2020 was 5 times more compared with last month. I'm assuming definitely has something to do with the pandemic, and all the parks are closed and people are not outside. Year-to-date commercial water usage was 20% over projections, because we had some months with larger usage in the past, so it just carried over. The lockoffs during the month of May 2020, there was no lockoff, zero lockoff. Connection fees, we don't have connection fees in May 2020. Aging, amount past due for more than 60 days in May 2020 was about 47,825, and almost more than 28,000 of this total actually owned just by two future development sites.
I'd like to point out there again that we've had zero requests for pay agreements for their bills, for statement bills.
Okay. For the reserve in May 2020, and for the we have increase of 26,859 in the reserve accounts. We're still so since we already finished the budget, and Tom and I are working on identify the numbers that will move to the reserve by the year end. And interfund borrowing balance, and we already informed the board at the last board meeting that the Security Northgate loan was paid off in April, and we're continuing to pay off the other two. And for the budget to actual comparison, the revenues numbers are really comparable with prior months. There was no ups and downs. It's just really stable. And because we didn't budget enough for fuel charges, so constantly every month is a little bit below the budget by 1.2%. But for other funds, water, drainage, solid waste, and security, they're all more than we have budgeted for. And for expenses, and overall expenditures, and it looks like we're gonna have $332,000 I left over on the low budget by the year end, if we keep going this way. And for reserve fund purchases authorized by general manager, and there's we budgeted for $25,000 for the truck replacement, and you will be this check on next month's bills paid listing. And there's a water replacement reserve purchase of $44,775 for waste treatment plant replacement pumps. And there's capital improvement reserve purchase of $43,000 for the CrossLink pump. And it's all already approved by the board. Then we had the Finance Committee meeting on June 2nd, 2020. Tom presented a brief update on the changes to the budget. And we're also thinking about doing another monthly budget update. So we want to do we would like to dig into the key accounts changes. And so number two, discuss Marriott Marketplace fee resolutions. I just want to let the board members know we all caught up on the developer deposit billing. So we just sent out all the billing to the developers. We sent out the statements as of May 31st. Going forward, it's our plan to bill the developers on a monthly basis. They should receive a funding letter, and they will receive their statement and with details what we spend money on for them, and then we'll request a deposit amount on top of the amount due. And the third item is for the special tax appeal. I think Tom might be able to tell you more about this one.
That's on the agenda later on tonight.
Okay. All right. There. But I want to talk about a little bit about this budget to actual report. So if you, I want to point out, you can. So after we pay the PARS contribution, there is a count. Let me look. other employer cost if you there's a $96,000 over budget, and this is because we didn't budget enough in this account, because we budgeted the PERS contribution in this account, but just the PERS contribution alone is $150,000 a year, but we only budgeted $147,000. And there's also, we also book the workers' comp insurance to this account, so that's the reason why it's over budgeted. As it going forward for next year's budget, I'll really look into this account and other the other account we should pay a lot of attention to is power. I think we didn't budget enough in power. Other than that, does anybody have any questions?
Cindy, this is Tim. Thank you for that report. Very good. I do appreciate that we have no lock-offs. I appreciate you working with the customers. What Tom was alluding to, we're required to have some type of formalized payment program because of the COVID, but we've worked with other folks in the past. Cindy, I do have a question.
Yes.
So the new baseline, excuse me, moving forward, other employer costs, what we're going to be seeing here then is basically the new baseline as we move forward for upcoming budgets then.
Yes.
Okay. My next question, it might fall to Paul, but looking at the water consumption with the commercial on board, with the new homes on board, is that basically going to be our new baseline? And then as we move forward to meet the governor's demands of reducing certain percentage of water consumption, I assume our baseline has now changed.
You know, that's a good question. So our comparison year is, the baseline year is 2013, but there has to be some sort of metric that, like you said, it's apples to apples, that you can formulaically compare it to that baseline years with the additional connections added to the system. So I'll look into that, but I can't specifically answer that as of yet.
No, and that's fine. As long as that's kind of on our radar, you know, there's the budget issue of the revenues and costs, but I was thinking for your side, Paul, it would be what is our new baseline moving forward and what we're going to have to report out. So that makes sense. I'm fine with that.
So I would like to add, although the baseline for that account will change, but we also need, doesn't necessarily mean the bottom line will change, will increase the budget, because we need to do a lot of adjustment between accounts, and there are other accounts that we don't need that much money in other accounts. We'll just really need to pay attention to what goes into each account.
Perfect. I understand that. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions for finance?
I have a answer for you. So giving me that 15-second reprieve there, I was able to think about it a little more. And so the very first item in my treatment report will show that we do a population calculation as it relates to water usage as residential per capita per day, and that's the metric. And so there is a formula for determining that, and that's the comparison.
Excellent. Thank you, Paul. I think, was it John? Did you have a question?
Yeah, but he just answered it, Tim. That's fine. I thought there was some baseline EDU multiplication that established that, and it appears that's true now. So I'm okay.
Thank you. Next up is security report, please.
I have a quick question on finance.
Okay. To whom is speaking?
This is Dee.
Go Diana. Ahead.
Hi, Diana.
Hi. Me again. Hi. The budget appears to be, it looks like everything's copacetic, but we're having to move a lot of money around to make it look that way. and it doesn't reflect anything that we're moving off into reserves. And I'm concerned that that is not visible. And when the 218 went out, I don't know whether another 218 has gone out. I haven't seen one. There, in addition to the notice that's required by law, I would think that there would be a need for a notice from CSD to the paying public to say, hey, we've got some issues. We're working on them, but it looks like we're not funding things the way they need to be funded, and we're going to need to address that and figure out how we're going to manage it.
Diane, this is Tim. So your question is specific to our budget, not the fiscal monthly report that we just got, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so I would probably say, unless Tom, you want to address it now, we move it to when we talk about the budget.
Okay.
I can go either way.
You know, I can answer your question now, Diana.
We're
in the process of analyzing the kind of cash we have in our checking account right now, and we're preparing to create a staff report where we move funds from cash into the reserve accounts. It's called LAIF. It's called Local Agency Investment Fund. It's a state fund, which is where most of our investment money is. And Cindy and I are in the process of working on that. As far as the notice, the second notice on what our Prop 218 original notice was published in the, and I hope I get this right, the May budget report. If you go to the May budget report, you will see that there is a revised Prop 218 notice as well as the revised budget numbers. And yes, it goes through and it talks about how we moved funds from general fund regular expenditures to reserve expenditures. And it says in response to the COVID-19 pandemic related issues. And that is basically our response to a number of letters and phone calls we were getting to try to address the concerns of the residents.
Right, I saw the new billing, but I thought that had to be either sent directly to the households in the district or published in the newspaper. So it just needs to show up at the BOD?
I believe so. I will look about it being published in the newspaper. I know we don't have to remail it.
Okay.
Look into publishing, whether or not we needed to have published it in the newspaper. And if that's a mistake we made, we won't make it again.
Okay. And then, like I say, it's an issue of money being shifted around and into reserves and everything else. And that's actually not just COVID-19. That's been happening for, gosh, almost, 6 years?
I tell you what, ma'am, you're now starting to talk about the budget, and we're just getting through the monthly staff reports. So,
okay, I'll shut up for a while.
No, you're fine. Your question is totally appropriate. But I think just so we keep the dialogue specific to each topic, I don't want to get it lost when we talk about the budget, if that makes sense to you.
That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Security report, please. Yes,
wait.
I'm sorry about that.
It's me, Linda Butler.
Yes, ma'am.
Did we skip after approval of bills paid, approval of district appointments, and then I had the adoption of resolution and E, the approval of California waste recovery.
Yeah, that was all done in the consent calendar.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I just had one question, and that was in relation to D, the three grants of easement from Marietta Marketplace. Is there anything? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, go ahead. We can back up to it.
It's not a big question. Well, it is a big question from my perspective. Is there anything in there? Is there any T we didn't cross? Is there any I we didn't dot? Is there anything in there before we sign this, or maybe we've signed it already, but that can come back and grab us later on?
I understand the question. To me, it was a very detailed report that we got from Coastland, but I'll leave that to Tom or Paul to answer a little bit more.
Yes, so I believe Dick Shanahan also reviewed the easement language as well. Is that correct, Dick? If you're
that's correct.
That is correct, Paul.
All right. So yeah, it went through Coastland, us, Dick Shanahan, and the Improvements Committee. So it was pretty thoroughly vetted.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, no worries. Good question. Okay. For the 20th time, security report.
Okay. Are we ready? Okay. Here we'll give it a shot. Good evening, everybody. So for the month of May, related to juvenile activities and COVID-19 issues, it pretty much was the same as April, although I'd say it's starting to settle down a bit. We've continued our enforcement efforts out at the beach area, park hours, violations, bonfires, fortunately, we haven't had any, maybe just one during the month of May. So, since the month of May, so hopefully that's going away. Reporting a little bit over into the month of June, we haven't had any so far. So hopefully the word's gotten out on that. So we're continuing our efforts there and extra patrols in certain areas where we've had some issues with the kids congregating. A few incidents of note, there was a vandalism to a truck overnight. It was parked in the driveway. And we had a missing elderly dementia resident, same one as that we had before. This time he wandered away about 4 o'clock in the morning. Patrol assisted the family and he was located a short time later. We had two DUI hit and run incidents, one on the 24th, one on the 26th. The one on the 26th actually started outside the community, but the suspect lives on the north. And trying to get home, she collided with a parked car and didn't go much further after that. CHP was already here looking for her, so they found her there into the parked car, and she was arrested for multiple violations. We had a report of house fire on Domingo Drive. Patrol got there. Fire department got there about the same time. Fortunately, it was just a small electrical fire. No significant damage, no injuries. And then an attempted auto burglary at the airport parking lot. There was some suspect information that was provided and a suspect vehicle with a license plate. All that was turned over to the sheriff's department for follow-up investigation. I believe the suspect came back to a guest. So they should be able to find out who that person is. Other than that, that's about it. Things are still on hold or being postponed until COVID-19 settles down. And at this point, who knows? We're still using contract security 3-4 days a week at the North Gate. And of course, the big thing is July 4th coming up. So my understanding is as of this afternoon, the RMA board decided not to hold any significant events, including fireworks. So we still had a contingency plan in place for additional staffing, and we're going to maintain that plan because it is a Saturday, so we expect a lot of parties. We're going to have additional staff at the North Gate running 2 iPads for passes, and then we'll have additional patrol on hand. We're also going to have 2 sheriff's deputies supplementing our patrol just to help out with unruly parties and illegal fireworks, should we have any, which I suspect we will, being that it's 4th of July and a Saturday. The citations and warnings are posted if anybody has any questions for that month. And other than that, I'll submit it if anybody has any questions.
Not hearing any questions, thank you. Next up is utilities report.
Kim?
Yes.
John Sullivan?
Yeah.
Hey, I tried to raise my hand, but I guess nobody is able to see it on my computer. So I'm on my phone as okay. well. Can I ask the question about the fireworks that get sold at the fundraising kiosks?
Yeah.
Are those safe and sane fireworks allowed?
The answer would be yes. The issue is it wasn't an RMA board decision. It falls back to the fire agency specific, and they're taking direction from the public health officer. So with all that working its way down, what you would see, let's just pick Boy Scouts of America.
Right.
They sell the self safe and sane. There's no control over limitations, et cetera, because those are usually just done by private parties from that standpoint.
So there's no restriction, abnormal restriction, I guess, this year?
Not that I've read anywhere where the fireworks are banned, and they are banned in certain areas of the community, not Marietta, but the county, just because of wildland danger, et cetera, et cetera. But because these are sold to individuals, there isn't the oversight that you would have coming from the public health officer down through the fire district, down through the permitting process.
Okay. Hey, thank you.
Yes. Paul, you're up.
All right. Thank you. So here's Paul Stevenson. That's me, Director of Field Operations. I'm going to give you a brief update on the items I have here in the packet. So with the warmer weather, the demands of the system have come up. We've got water plant number one, the ultrafiltration membrane plant in operation with plant number two to meet our demands. And so also in comparison to our baseline year for residential gallons per capita per day, you can see we've got a 25% decrease versus our baseline year for the month of May, as shown in the graph. As far as source of supply, we filled up all the reservoirs to the spillways. At the end of May 31st, we did have a little bit of leaking at the Calero stop logs pointed out by a resident. So we sandbagged those and tried to hold those in place a little better. And so there was only a minor issue there. And then we also had an issue at the Chesbro Reservoir where one of the compressors that, well, the main compressor that aerates the aeration system, failed on a 102 degree day. So staff got that up and running really quickly. And so that went well. Kudos to staff for that. And in the wastewater side of things, we've begun.
Excuse me, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Specific to the compressor, was it just an isolated? Is it getting toward the end of its lifespan? Is it the first time we've had an issue? If it's been to improvements committee and they're looking at it, that's fine. If it's a one-off, that's fine too.
It's just a one-off dealt with operations. It has been in operation for quite a while. These things do run quite a bit. So there's a backup to that one. So, and they cycle. And so luckily we had the other compressor continue the run through the heat, but we got the other replacement up and running because otherwise, if one runs 24 hours a day, it'll burn up very quickly. It just doesn't have time to cool down.
Perfect.
So that's the criticality of it.
All right. Thank you.
Make sure we got a spare as well. And then moving on to the wastewater side of things, we're treating our secondary stored wastewater for reclamation use to the golf course and coordinating with the country club with recycled water deliveries. In doing so and starting up the plant, a line ruptured, but luckily staff was able to fix that as shown in the pictures here in the packet. So kudos for staff for dealing with that quickly, but we got a project ahead of us come next fall, winter, when the facility's down again. No issues in the sewer collection system, the drainage system, doing a lot of weed whacking right now with the wet, cooler weather we've had and some hot weather. The weeds have grown exceptionally tall, so please have patience with us as we get to your area. We're moving through the system as quickly as we can. And as it relates to Laguna Joaquin, an update to this is we have treated Laguna Joaquin in May and then again in early June. For midge fly control, we used the Bactamose product, which is the pellet product, this June. As I mentioned earlier this June, so and we'll do another treatment towards the end of the month in preparation for 4th of July to make sure there's a limited number of midge flies affecting the fireworks and people out there. As it relates to projects, just a quick note on the regional stimulus potential project. There is no update to that. There's just information in the queue in case something like a stimulus project does proceed. So that's as it relates to that. As it relates to the water rights renewal, our consultant wanted to note to the board that even though the petition may get submitted this year prior to its expiration, that it won't actually expire. It'll just be in the queue because the board that reviews them has a backlog of reviewing water rights renewals. So they're saying it can take, you know, 5 to 10 years after they're submitted to actually get a response from the board. And then your just current permit just stays in operation until they're able to review it and get to it. So just a heads up on that, and it's continued to be worked on. Just an other note, the West Staff panel project is still proceeding. There's been a little bit of a delay with the project. The panel that was supposed to go in, the cabinet got damaged by a painting contractor, so they had to get a new panel. And so there's kind of a little back and forth with us on there with the contractor on it. And for any questions? Nope. Okay. And then development, everybody can see what's going on with that. The Bel Air is open. And lots 4 and 5. We did a little bit of inspection there for a sewer interceptor that was installed, and you can see a photo of the building that's going up. If you scroll down a little bit, Amelia. So work's continuing on those projects. And at the FAA Business Park, we got a photo of the project there as it was per when I put this packet together. As an update, if you scroll down a little further, Amelia, for the Riverview project, on the 12th of this month, they submitted quite a bit of information as it relates to their first phase of home development. So a lot of information came in and we've downloaded and we'll be in the process of reviewing it for the Riverview project. So that project is moving forward. And that's about it. Are any questions?
Yeah, Paul, it's John. Hey, I have one question on Riverview. It's hard to get information, but I understood that RMA was in discussions with them regarding the size of streets and some parking issues and whatnot. Does any of that impact us either now or further down the road? And are you kind of tuned into that?
Yes, I coordinated providing contacts for the Riverview project to the country club. So if you look at the project map there towards the upper portion of it where the blue outline is. Can if you move the little hand down, Amelia? Yep. And if you now go to the right, please. And so if you look those blue lines there, it shows it there's going to be a roadway that connects across the golf course per their plan. So they have to coordinate with the country club on that. And then they coordinate with the RMA for connecting over to the roadway. So that's some discussion that's being had. There would also be water lines that would be tied in through that area as well to loop their water system. But nothing really out of the ordinary.
Okay,
John, Paul, this is John again, John Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how they handle that since it's not, I mean, how they handle that little
stub street extension because it's not interior to their map. Do you know how that gets handled?
Not specifically, I do not.
Well, doesn't that create a liability for the country club in the, because once you run that road through there, won't they look at that at creating another parcel?
That's possible. I don't know. You can't comment on it.
Okay. All right. Well, make sure that the developer of that, I think we're having a meeting with them, but you make sure that the country club, the property owners involved, because country club has, I'm sure, concerns about tee boxes and all of that. Plus, isn't that right where their snack bar is on the south?
No, there's no snack bar, but there's like a restroom building there.
It's just restrooms now, huh? Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it's the same. It is the for the aged. It is the old snack bar building. Yes, that's the one we're talking about.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Anyway, just make sure that the group understands that the country club may sign something off. And I'm in communication with Mike and Ron Zane, but you know it's the property owner that has to approve the ultimate design there. Thank you.
This is Linda Butler. This is just a comment. It's been my observation that the community and other parts of the community like the country club or RMA and CSD don't hear about most of this stuff. CSD will hear about things that are related to water and sewage and drainage, but we don't know what this thing is going to look like. If there's any parking, if there's any reasonable opportunity for storage or keeping your cars in your garage, we have no idea about any of that. So even though it will affect us ultimately in the long run, because we'll be the ones asking people to put their cars in their garage, et cetera. So it's just a very haphazard way of dealing with the community, and they're allowed to do it. And people they answer to is the county, from what I know. So we will be picking up whatever pieces don't get taken care of.
Excuse me, this is Les Clark. That is a long ago approved vesting tentative map, and on the county's planning website, the conditions of approval may include many answers to those questions that are being raised. And then to Linda's question, that should be an RMA responsibility to communicate information to the community.
Do they get it?
Hang on.
How do they get that information? Who do they talk to?
County Planning Department. Again, it's a long approved vesting tentative subdivision map, and the development process goes through county planning, and there is a document called the conditions of approval along with the environmental review and everything else that was associated with that project on the county planning's website.
That's not the issue.
And I do have the conditions of approval. They submitted that in their last package as well. So if you want a copy of that, I can provide that as well.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Paul, this is Bob Kyle. The Riverview developer has a reimbursement for the spray field. At what point does CSD collect those funds, since they're getting ready to kick off? What is the trigger that has them reimburse the spray field?
I'd have to defer that question to Tom.
And we've been asking that question, and I believe the fund manager, EPS, would be the conduit for the receipt and the reimbursement, the receipt and disbursement of those monies. We haven't gotten to this point before, so we're trying to verify that internally ourselves. We should have an answer to that question shortly.
Have they applied for grading permits or anything like that? Do we know when the mass grading, because it says they're going to mass grade in phase one, they're going to mass grade the entire site. Are they allowed to pull a permit and mass grade prior to paying for the spray field?
Looks like a question we're going to need to get answered.
This is John Sullivan. Yeah. Can I chime in here?
Sure.
My belief is that the reimbursement for the spray field is when the water permit's issued for each lot. I think you could confirm that by looking at the 670 FSA.
Can you repeat that, John? I don't understand.
So, Riverview and Lakeview, to some extent, owe reimbursement for the Van Vleck spray field, about a $3 million acquisition that was handed over to the district at the conclusion of the negotiations of the 670 FSA. And I believe in the FSA document for 670, it says that Riverview and Lakeview would reimburse the spray field and the spray field maintenance, which is $225 a lot. The spray field, it varies because Lakeview paid a portion, Riverview didn't pay anything. And then it's adjusted, it's adjusted by the engineering news record inflation, and that number divided by the number of lots, I believe, will be the reimbursement that's due when they pull their water permit, which is when they want to get service from the district. But again, I think it's in the FSA 670.
So John, is it your understanding that they have to pay the entire spray field reimbursement when they apply for one water? No. Or is it phased?
The Stonehouse Road fee, which is a county fee, gets paid upon the filing of the final map. The other fees that are collected by the district, which includes, you know, water augmentation, the capital improvement numbers for security, sewer, water, all those, including the spray field reimbursement, I believe in the FSA, gives them until they pay for that water permit. That water permit is what they have to get approved by the district to install the water meter on a lot by lot basis. That's my recollection.
So, and is it, it's all due with the first meter, or is it paid meter by meter?
I believe as they go, but wow. Again, I think it's in the FSA 670. Okay.
All right, thank you.
And the FSAs are covered later on in this packet to a minor extent.
Correct. Anything else for Paul? Paul, thank you. I appreciate it. Moving on to item six, review district meeting dates, times for, it says June 2020, but we'll go ahead and make it July 2020. I know the security meeting July 2nd shall be canceled. Do any of the other board members have conflicts with the other dates listed? Not hearing any conflicts. On to item number seven, correspondence. The board members have all received the letter from the resident. I just have one question, and Paul, it's to you. What portion of the resident's documents that he sent us or letter does CSD own?
So we have easement for operation and maintenance of the reservoirs and also for access to and from the water treatment facility.
Correct. So we don't own any of the property. We just have access through the easement.
Yes, but just a further follow-up to, I believe I thoroughly answered the residents' questions via email and also via a recent phone conversation.
Excellent, because I was going to thank you for your time and diligence in that whole process. So thank you. Moving on to...
Tim, can I... Tom Hennig.
Hello?
Tim?
Hello? Tom, was that you?
Yes.
Did you want to go...
This is Tom Hennig. I spoke with Mr. Wheeler a little bit earlier today. He's very satisfied with the work that Paul did to bring him up to speed on what we do here for the lakes, and then also what Jeff was able to answer as far as the dispatch issue. So everything is good with Mr. Wheeler.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Appreciate staff doing that. Linda, did you have a question?
Well, I saw the letter, and I understand that everything's wonderful, but I don't understand how that all happened in the sense that I'd like to know what was resolved, how it was resolved, et cetera.
Then what I would ask is we take that offline. Tom, I'll direct that to you, that the question asked by Director Butler, if you could have staff
more specific, I guess, more specific.
To answer her questions.
I got it.
Thank you. Number eight, public comments. Individuals will have 3 minutes to make a statement. If there are speakers representing organizations, they'll have up to 5 minutes. So do we have any public comment at this time? Okay, not hearing any. We're going to move on to item nine, discussion, possible solutions for Marietta Country Club and Marietta Properties, LLC.
This is Amelia. This was a late addition to the packet as well, so you can find this on the internet on our website.
So this is Tom. The Finance Committee, we were presented with, just prior to the Finance Committee, a letter co-signed by Mr. Sullivan and Mr. Martell, and also partly with Dick Brandt, requesting that the district take a look at some security fees, some sewer charges, related to the country club property and related to a lot of the properties around the lakes that used to, for a period of time, belong to the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And apparently it had to do with some financial issues back in the day. And so I've talked to both Mr. Martell and Mr. Sullivan and let them know this is very complicated and it's going to require quite a bit of research to figure out what is really the case. Do we owe them money? If so, how much? Or maybe they owe us money. We don't know. So, but the fact that the district's made it clear that if we are going to be going backwards with refunds or billings, that 4 years is the legal limit. So they felt it was important to get this letter in requesting the funds and also make a formal request. And so on yesterday, I received an email from Mr. Martell indicating that this is in fact a request for a refund after the research is done. And so this is acknowledging that if they in fact do get a refund, that we'll go back to June of 2016. And so at this point in time, no other work has been done on this. It's really complicated and I need to sit down with both owners and figure out exactly where they came from. And so then we can go back into our documentation and look at the bills and all that stuff. So this is just acknowledging the receipt and setting the date for how far we'll go back.
Tom, this is Tim. So basically, it's the same conversation that we started right after first of the year, I think it was February, where staff was given direction at that point in the new fiscal year 2021, that was going to be a priority to go district-wide, not by individual or in this case, corporation type of thing. So for everybody out there, I understand they wanted it formalized process. District had already recognized this about 4 or 5 months earlier, and that is part of the process moving forward. So thank you. On to item number 10, which is report discussion concerning residents' east properties. Discussion.
Yes, this is Mark Martin. So as part of my employment agreement amendment, there were a few items, housekeeping items that the board had asked that I addressed before I leave the district. And the first one involves residences east, and this has been a long time effort to interpret the 670 financing and services agreement and discern what the water treatment plant expansion obligations are, along with the Van Vleck spray field obligations, both reimbursement and those owed reimbursement. And so after a number of months working with our legal counsel, we provided a letter on May 27th to Mr. Kyle that outlined what those costs are. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this. The next item is Mr. Shanahan, the district's legal counsel, is going to give a presentation on that particular effort there. The second item was a request to lay out a strategy or a plan to help resolve the issue with the construction inspection costs concerns of the developer, Cassunas River Land, Mr. Sullivan. And so this goes back about a year. There were billings that weren't provided for a number of months and then were finally provided, and some discrepancy over methodology of inspections, et cetera. So what I did within the plan, and so I provided that plan to for internal review as of this last Monday, June 15th. And so I provided background on the issue, explained the purpose, function, and benefit of construction management as a general function as it relates to the district, and then explained the concerns of the developer as he raised in that meeting and in writing, provided documents related to that, the billings, the letter from the developer, and some other information, examples of the VPM. Now, VPM is a virtual project management software that Coastland, our district engineer, uses. And it holds information on what inspections were conducted, what the details of that particular inspection is, if there were any corrective notices provided, what those corrections were, if it was corrected or not, and then also photos related to the inspection. So it's just one of the tools that's out there, but provided some background on that. Finally, recommended a number of steps, basically, that the district needs, in my opinion, in my recommendation, to step through to get to a point of resolution. And so all of this is in an attempt to not only resolve the issue that occurred, but also going forward not to have this happen again and avoid this from here on. That's my presentation.
Mark, thank you. I just want to make a note to the other board members. The document that was provided was very detailed. There was a lot of input from legal counsel. So I would encourage you not to ask specific questions, but as board members, if you have questions, let's work back through staff individually on those questions. Otherwise, if it's a generic question without getting into the details, now would be the time to have some discussion. Not hearing a whole lot, Mark. I thought the document was laid out very well for us from a historical perspective. It explained a lot of things. So you're right, as we move forward with staff, we just have to ensure that we've identified if we made some mistakes, we get those cleaned up and address it for future reference. But I thought the document was extremely well done. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Item number, that covered items 10 and 11. So item number 12, confirmed districts preferred water ground sustainability agency. This is a discussion and action item.
Director, maybe, but I believe that Mr. Shanahan has something prepared for item number
11.
Well, in that case, let me take back item 12 and let's go to number 11.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to talk about it. It's big, so we got to let it.
All right.
And it's really the board's pleasure. There's a memo in the agenda packet from me at page 66 of the agenda packet where I go into some detail about the analysis. I'm happy just to, you know, stand on the memo as presented and answer questions, or if the directors would prefer an oral briefing, I could do that as well. What's the pleasure of the board?
Mr. Shanahan, I thought the document was well written and explained very well. That's just my look at it, reading it a couple of times. But if the other board members want some type of specificity on what he's written, now would be the time to have that discussion with legal counsel.
This is John. I concur with Tim. I've been with this since we got into it, and it is what it is. I concur with what the memo says.
All right, not hearing anything else, Mr. Shanahan, thank you again for that document. And I didn't mean to preempt you and slide you on going to item number 12. So thank you for that. Item 12, districts preferred groundwater.
Tim, I'm sorry, this is Bob Kyle.
Yeah.
We kind of breezed through that. A portion of that letter that he wrote talked about the extraordinary.
Hold on a second, Mr. Kyle. What letter are you referring to?
The Richard Shanahan letter.
Okay.
There's a portion of that, if you continue there. Let's see. Nope, back a little bit. Sorry, page 2. Where he talks about. Okay, it's the, let's see. If you look at the residences east analysis, right there. Okay, so it says the FSAs are a lengthy and complex agreement, even though they were approved in 2014. That paragraph right there, which ends with, as a result, the analysis requested by Mr. Kyle took an extraordinary amount of time to complete. I'd just like to go on record with the board that was not an inexpensive time for me, and that I just want to let the board know that I still don't have complete information, and the carry cost on this land is very expensive to me, and the what is also mentioned in there is that the turnover and the district's inability to retain a consultant at the proper time has put me in a very difficult situation. And I think it's an important part of the document that he put together, and I appreciate the fact that that was recognized. But I just wanted to point that out to the board as we move forward trying to resolve these issues, that there has been a significant impact on me during this period of time.
And I understand that, Mr. Kyle. And I will tell you, it is definitely not intentional. And with that moving forward, I think staff hears what you're saying. I know the board. Here's what you're saying. So we will keep that in the back of our mind as well as we move through some of the reprioritization, that was easy for me to say, of what we're going to be asking staff to do this upcoming fiscal year with the staff that we have. So we get that. When it rains, it pours. Haven't had development for quite a while. So right. When we get development, it's coming all at once. So I understand what you're saying.
I appreciate your comment. I just wanted to make that clear.
No, hey, no worries.
All right.
Kim, John Sullivan again. I'm sorry to jump in here, but I think there's two things that need to be noted on Dick Shanahan's memo. One of them is there's no reference at all to the 2007 cease and desist order, which was really a cease and desist order associated with wastewater disposal. And that's what caused the VanVleck easement to be necessary that the developers in the 670 group acquired and then ultimately delivered to the district. The other item, Paul, you remember we talked about this as to the $634,726. The water treatment plant went over the approved budget by 634. Remember, we were going to go back and look at the analysis on how much was district's payment of the overage and how much was district's request for upgrades and betterment that aren't part of the reimbursement. And this just shows the lump sum. And I just wanted to get an asterisk on that memo that that reconciliation still needs to be somewhere that it can be looked at by the district on these reimbursement for reimbursement purposes. Okay. Thank you.
I get that, Mr. Sullivan. Paul and Tom, I assume you've got the notes on that. So as we move forward with this, we can probably break that down just a little bit further as we move forward. Any other questions on item 11? Not hearing any. Item 12, please.
Item 12 is a repeat. This is Tom Hennig. Item 12 is a repeat of the request for the board to determine a preference for which groundwater sustainability agency to commit for, to the portion north of the river. And and there's a map included. There's a small portion of the district that's in currently part of the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority. And the district needs to, at some point, and it's that little white area from the yellow box there, the district is at some point needs to make a preferential decision as to which groundwater sustainability agency to allow to help us manage that portion of the district's aquifer, the aquifer under the ground. And last board meeting, a request was made for the district to commit to the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority for the long term. And it was kind of a all of a sudden and confusing subject to absorb all in the short amount of time. So the district tabled the discussion and they directed me to go do some research and come back with some information and make a recommendation as to which agency we would be have a preference to. And basically it's either the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority or it's Consumnis, the Slough House Resources District and Slough House Resource Conservation District. And a good part of our property already is managed by the Slough House District. And so this business is pretty complicated. So I hired Kevin Kaufman, who's available if anybody has questions. Kevin Kaufman is a consultant in the water district, in the water business, and he manages at least one GSA and he's set up GSAs up and down the valley. And so I thought Kevin could do the research and come up with his opinion, his qualified opinion as to what would best meet the district's long-term needs. And based upon that, and you know, it's in the report. I don't need to read all the statements. Everybody can read it and we can have questions. Based upon that, it's my opinion and so my recommendation is that we choose to list the Slough House Resource Conservation District as our preferred groundwater sustainability agency. We need to make a decision because the county is on hold with the state for getting their GSAs approved pending Rancho Marietta making a choice. And so Linda Dorn is also on the call. She can explain that. And with that, I kind of just would open up to questions.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Tom. Board members, anybody have questions?
I have a couple.
Sure, go ahead, please.
I'm just wondering if you could comment or make a statement about a few, maybe three, differences between the two agencies and how one is more advantageous than another.
That's a good question, Linda. And part of it is just local control. And with the slough house being already the GSA, the sustainability agency, for a good portion of the districts on the south side of the river. Mm-hmm. Plus they're also the GSA for a lot of farmland, which is west of the district. The size of the slough house group is more akin to Rancho Marietta being somewhat of an out in the country organization versus mm-hmm. the complexities you run into with a larger agency such as the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority. And then the other important thing that I considered was the fact that it appears to be in the long run less expensive to the district to belong to the slough house group versus the Sacramento Central group. And those mm-hmm. are what we came up with.
Tom, I we sat in the meetings with Kevin and I think all pretty much came to the same conclusions. And as it relates to local control, we know the folks that are in this Slough House Conservation District. I mean, we're talking about Stan and Jay Schneider and the people, Jan James, who owns the property around the corn stand.
Our neighbors.
These are all, yes, they are our neighbors, and these are all people personally I've known for years and had a good working relationship with. The other part of that is exposure that we pointed out was exposure to tax, and we mm-hmm. don't know what the future holds for us. Should we elect to join a group that essentially makes us a very small fish in a very big pond? One of the things that concern me with groundwater is, with all of the work that I've done on traffic with the new developments that center around Sunrise and Jackson, which net out about 32,000 homes at full build out. A lot of that initial construction is centered around, when you read those documents, is centered around groundwater until they get infrastructure in position to do it in another way. I just think there's a tremendous amount of pressure and we have very little say when it comes to fighting off the major cities that are involved in that. And I just think we're a known here in Slough House. And I was really glad that the analysis came out the way it was, because I was definitely in favor of doing it this way.
Thank you, John. Anybody else?
Tim, I see where Mr. Kaufman is on the line. I'd like to ask the question. I believe at the last meeting when we were advised to join the other group, that one of the arguments was that as small as we are, that in the Slough House group, we might be the deep pockets. Could you address that? Is there any chance of that happening, that as these reports and costs have to happen, that we might end up with the majority of paying these bills?
Sure. My name's Kevin Kaufman. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I really didn't consider that in the work that I did, but with the experience I've had with GSAs, typically a GSA will come up with a formula as to their contribution for assembling and implementing a GSP, which is the Groundwater Sustainability Plan. And two of the primary factors in establishing that formula are how much land are we talking about and how much groundwater do we pump? There's some other factors that come in, but those are the two primary factors. So if you consider those two primary factors, being as Rancho Marietta doesn't pump any groundwater, there's no reason for the case to be that you would pay the lion's share. Most of the pumping is going on in the rest of the basin. So I think you have protection no matter which district or which GSA you associate yourself with. But because of the fact you're not pumping any groundwater, your cost should not be extreme in either choice, whether it's Slough House or the South American Central Groundwater Authority, GSA.
Great, thank you for that.
Kevin, can I ask you too, because I think we discussed some of this, in terms of what our ongoing long-term contribution would be in the larger entity, I thought we were understanding that the actual potential, even though part of it is based on what we would pump, the part of it that would represent our contribution going forward to the general G&A of that larger organization might in fact be a bigger number.
I think there's that potential, and we did talk about that, John, primarily because of the noise going on currently about using meters and metered water to determine a portion of the charge. So I would agree with you there is that potential. You're correct.
Hey, John, this is Shanahan. If I could just expand on that answer as well. Slough House is a public agency, so it's subject to Prop 218 and similar restrictions. So when it goes out and tries to identify a new revenue source to fund groundwater management, it's going to need to do so through Prop 218 compliant taxes, assessments, or fees. And for assessments and taxes, those are going to require a ballot proceeding and a vote of landowners or registered voters of some kind that Rancho Marietta and its landowners and residents would participate in. Or if Rancho Slough House pursues fees and charges like pumping charges, those can only be charged against agencies who are receiving a service from Slough House. And since Rancho Marietta doesn't pump any groundwater, it would be hard for Slough House to levy service charges against Rancho Marietta CSD. So the exposure to future revenue from either agency is going to be a relatively low risk. I mean, there's certainly a risk there, but nothing automatic, and whatever they do, it's going to take a Prop 218 proceeding of some kind.
Well, Dick, wouldn't it be too, if we went to 218 and to some type of referendum to approve this? I mean, these guys are basically six people on one large ranch, and we've got like 5,700 people here. That would give us some kind of a distinct advantage, would it not?
It would if there's a tax measure, because taxes need to be approved by the registered voters. If instead, though, Slough House pursues an assessment, a landowner assessment, then those can be approved by on a landowner majority protest basis, based on the size and value of land, if they go that route. But again, with the assessments, you can only assess landowners who receive a benefit from the service. And since the district's not a groundwater pumper, you know, the benefit you would receive from groundwater regulation is pretty minimal.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Do we have any comments from the public?
This is Les Clark. I just have a question.
Sure.
Is there anything, any exposure to the district as it results not to its groundwater pumping, but its groundwater recharge? The district has a reclaimed water master plan, intends to utilize a significant portion of the reclaimed water it generates for irrigation purposes. In an area that is not within the groundwater recharge basin for that is represented by Slough House, I believe. But right now, it is diverting a significant portion of that reclaimed water to agricultural lands that do contribute to the groundwater recharge basin. So is there any linkage between that and the exposure to their groundwater management plan?
This is Paul. I don't believe so.
And this is Kevin. I would yield to Richard, but when you're doing, as part of the GSP, you put together what's called a water balance, and that would only be a positive number in the water balance calculation.
And I do understand that, but that is my question. Should the CSD reclaimed water master plan be perfected and utilize more of its reclaimed water to community irrigation needs and reduce the amount of water that reclaimed water that is utilized in the agricultural areas? Could that be an exposure?
So our overall master plan for recycled water actually does not accept that maximum build-out intend to push water to the agricultural lands. It intends to use it primarily within the district in the residential and commercial areas to offset the potable use. So I'd have to say I don't believe so, but it's a long ways off.
Okay, Paul, but would the full implementation of the Reclaimed Water Master Plan for the Community Services District actually lead to a reduction in the amount of reclaimed water that is currently being discharged on agricultural lands that do contribute to the groundwater recharge?
Yeah. When we did recycled water or groundwater study years ago at around our wastewater facility, it didn't show any impacts and it doesn't really show any recharge. When you apply water, recycled water, you do it at agronomic rates, so it's uptaked by whatever vegetation you're irrigating. You're not flooding areas to promote groundwater recharge.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jay Snyder. Could I weigh in on, I could clarify this maybe?
Mr. Snyder, please. And Les, I'll get back to you in a second. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think, first of all of that land that's south of the Cosumnes River and that is all this reclaimed water is used and potential irrigation down on Van Vleck, et cetera, is all already within the Suas Resource Conservation District's GSA. In other words, we represent all that area. What we're talking about tonight is just that little area north. So the area that you're talking about is south of the river is already represented by Slough House. And your attorney was very accurate, my understanding of law earlier, that if there was any kind of an assessment or whatever that required a vote, then obviously if it was from the Slough House side of things, you'd have vastly the controlling vote. And if you were within the SCJ, though, you'd be a very small group of homeowners voting with hundreds of thousands. So anyhow, that I hope that clears up that the as far as any recharge things, I don't think the recharge, everything Ranchmanet does is a recharge because all your water ends up being used for irrigation. So it all goes back into the ground. None of it is in a drainage thing that takes it out to the Sacramento River. So I understand the question, but I don't think there should be any concern with it. You're a net recharger. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Snyder. Mr. Clark, did we answer your question?
As long as the question has been asked publicly and responded to factually, then I have no other concerns.
All right. Is there anybody else from the community? Hearing none.
Hey, Tim, this is John again. Could you get a blow up of that, of the Rancho Murrieta area? And, you know, because when you look at where the dashed lines are and everything, could we get a blow up, you know, of that, the district, and how that dashed line, I guess, will now become part of the yellow? Is that what you're saying?
That is my understanding.
Okay. And then isn't the south of the river also in a lighter dashed line, isn't that also included or not?
I understand the question, and I'm trying to take a look at the map that I have. I don't know if staff has an answer as I'm looking on my map.
Yes, the yellow, the whole outline of Rancho Murrieta would become yellow, and that portion below it, John, would also be yellow. Am I correct, Jay?
Yes, correct. This particular tonight, everything south of the river is already within Suhas RCD, within Rancho Murrieta. Then on the north side, we're only talking about that area north of the river that would connect with what's already agreed to be Suhas RCD, which, if you notice, it's a map you have on the screen, and the little arrow goes all the way out to that wiggly line on the west side of that yellow is the watershed line, the 200-year floodplain, if you will. So the whole area, in other words, Rancho Murrieta would be surrounded by Suhas RCD on both sides, so it'd be the continued coordination that started in 2016. So it tried to assure that all of Rancho Murrieta would fall under one governance. Thanks.
Did that
answer the question? Go ahead.
No, I'm confused. Are you saying the whole outline of Rancho Murrieta CSD, it'll all be filled in with yellow now? Is that what we're saying?
Okay. On the south side, John, from the river south, that would be yellow. It already is. That would be in Suhas RCD as a GSA. The yellow that you see on the map will be a GSA, and it will include the white. The gray portion,
the stark
east
white.
Of the white and north of the river, that will remain gray because there will be no GSA on it, and there will be no groundwater sustainability plan. It's in a non-groundwater area, according to the state, so no groundwater sustainability plan will be north of the river and east of that white. So the only thing we're talking about tonight is north of the river in the white, and that would become part of Suhas.
That'll be added to the south of the river east of that dashed line.
This is Linda Dorn with Sacramento County. Can I
absolutely please.
Oh, thank you. I'm the groundwater sustainability manager for the county, and I just want to thank you all for getting this on your agenda tonight and making a decision. As it stands right now, the county is the groundwater sustainability agency, which is that white area that you're talking about. And the reason that is the case is because there was overlapping groundwater sustainability agency requests for this area. And we have been working through getting a memorandum of understanding signed by all the GSAs in the South American sub-basin. And this is the last piece to be resolved before those overlapping GSA requests can be done with and the groundwater sustainability agencies established for the development of a groundwater sustainability plan. So that white area is from the edge of the South American sub-basin, right, which is the river, and I look at it as to the north. Mm-hmm. And what was proposed originally was for that to be a part of the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority, which is in green on this map. And now what you're proposing is to be part of the Slough House Resource Conservation District, which is the yellow area. And the reason why I'm talking to you, because as we speak right now, the county is the groundwater sustainability agency, and we are looking forward to this being resolved. So I want to thank you for making a decision tonight. Did that help you?
It made sense to me, but don't congratulate us on making the decision. Just, you're going out on a limb. I'm going to throw you a life preserver and just kind of hang out there for a second.
Oh my goodness, I spoke too soon.
Yeah, well, I hope not, but nonetheless, with everything that's been said, board, any new questions?
Austin Miller has a question.
Mr. Miller, please.
Not necessarily a question, just an attempt at providing a little bit more clarity. One thing, this map only shows the GSAs within the South American sub-basin. So what's south of the river and that area that Jay was indicating, it's not on this map right now because it's in a different sub-basin and that is already wrapped up and Slough House has been the GSA over that portion of Rancho Marietta for the last couple of years. And then the third portion of Rancho Marietta, the northeast portion, that won't necessarily be yellow either, because as Jay mentioned, it is not in a groundwater sub-basin according to the state. So there's Rancho Marietta is kind of split up into three different basins, and the conversation that we're having right now is just about that one portion. So yes, in some ways it'll all be yellow, but only the portions that need to have a GSA over it. Thank you.
Perfect. I get that. Anybody else from the community? All right, Amelia. We need a roll call vote on this. Do we need to make a motion for the district to make a preference?
Tim, I've got a motion.
Okay.
I move to select the Slough House Resource Conservation District as the preferred groundwater sustainability agency to regulate the groundwater within this Rancho Marietta Community Services District portion of the South American sub-basin. Also to authorize the general manager to send a letter to Slough House Resource Conservation District to inform it about the district's decision, and also to authorize the general manager to send a letter to the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority to inform its director of the district's decision.
I'll second that, Tim.
We have a second, any discussion? The only comment I have is I'd like Randy to read it again, just because it was so long, just joking. Amelia, roll call vote, please.
Yeah, I would like to confirm that that was Mr. John Merchant who made the second.
Yes, it was.
And President Mabee?
Yes.
Director Janko?
I'll vote yes if I get to
read it again.
Read the motion again.
Well, you have to put the motion in the minutes. I think that would make it a little bit more fair.
I'm disappointed. I thought he had that memorized.
Right? Director Merchant, do you have a vote for me, sir?
Yes.
Yes, you have a vote, or your vote
yes,
is?
Yes, I have a vote, and the vote is yes. Yes.
Director Butler?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
I would like to thank Linda Dorn. I'd like to thank Kevin. Austin also gave some input, and the other residents that had input for us, and for staff putting that together for us. Moving on to item 13, please.
Yes, this is Tom Hennig. I'm reporting on the budget. This is the final vote to approve, a request to approve the 2020-21 fiscal year budget for Rancho Marietta. And basically, there have been no changes to the budget since we presented it in May. I did receive one more letter, so the number of letters has now come to 27, I think, but that letter came in late, but I just letting you know it came in. I think the better thing to do here is to just open this up for questions rather than go through the list of items that have already been presented and were presented as part of the PowerPoint at the May board meeting. If that'd be the pleasure of the board, I'm ready to field the questions and see how it goes.
Yes, I'm gonna start with the board members first. Do we have board members with specific questions on the budget for staff?
No.
Okay, hearing none, we're gonna open it up to the community, but I do wanna answer the young lady's question that was brought up during the finance, monthly finance report. And I think the question was how the district moves funds from general fund into specific accounts, whether we have to augment drainage or we have to augment security because the taxes do not keep up with the cost of those services, if you will. Specifically, it has been asked, and more specifically, it's been directed to the general manager that in this upcoming fiscal year, we are going to establish a way out, if you will, or a process looking at security and how that can get realigned. And how long that's going to take. It took us a few fiscal years to get into this. It might take us a couple to get out, but with that said, that process shall begin as soon as the new fiscal year starts, and it is going to be a monumental task. So with that, I open it up to the community.
Tim, this is John Sullivan. I just have
two
comments, really. One is I wasn't really dialed into the conversation that happened from a couple of the Murrieta Village residents the last time we talked about the budget. But when I see the $469,000 proposed to be allocated to security, then I start, you know, as they did, wondering why there's a different load from administration to every department. When I go through and look at the last two, which would be drainage and solid waste, solid waste generates $750,000 and has 36,000 of admin, and drainage has 281,000 of revenue, and it's allocated $76,000 worth of admin cost allocation. And that to me just seems like we've kind of gotten off the compass. And I just wanted to make that comment because as I look through these, I'm trying to figure out if we're having a legitimate security question about how the community funds and pays for security. The sooner we have that discussion, I think the better off we are.
I don't disagree with you. Like I said, it has been specifically directed to myself as the board president, and I've moved that to the general manager. The big difference with this year's dollar allocation is the cost analysis study that we just went through, and it's more appropriate that we were able to account for all those costs. But again, at the end of the day, a couple of board members kind of just got here. This has been going on for a while, but it shall be addressed this fiscal period. Tom, I don't know if you want to explain any more on the cost allocation. I thought it was pretty clear at the last board meeting, but Mr. Sullivan, I do hear what you're saying, and that is the direction we're going to move.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, John, I'd be happy to answer any questions. If it's quick right now, if you want, I can walk you through it. I'll just come meet with you.
No, let's do it offline so we don't bore everybody. Keep on going to the meeting. We can talk about this. It's going to be a long discussion, I'm sure, by a lot of people. So thank you.
Just know that we, you know, one of the major recommendations from the accounting services we got from the Poon Group was that this district has never, as anybody can recollect, done a formal cost allocation plan. And the cost allocations, we've been doing a lot of research on it, and it's not a lot of science has been put into the cost allocations for the last 20 years. And in good government practices, you need to do these formal plans and studies so the administrative costs are properly allocated to the operational budgets. And that's a Prop 218 requirement. And in fixing this, it looks like security may have been eating up more money than is online that we can see, but it also shows you that sewer is way underfunded from the rates, and that's a problem we're gonna have to fix. The water budget, the water fund is pretty darn close to revenue equaling expenses, but the sewer fund's not even close. It's $200,000 short. So that's, if we were to fix that problem today, it would raise the rates about $6.28 a month for every paying customer. So it's something we need to fix, and this is the first step in fixing it.
Hey, John, one thing, this is John Merchant. One thing in playing with these numbers since we came up with that formal reallocation of the admin costs from about 20% for security up to 35, if we accept that the Poon Group research is valid and that we're going to allocate based on this more sophisticated system, if you then assume that what we've been doing is wrong, it puts security in the hole in terms of not collecting enough by tax to pay for itself, going back years and years and years. It's not just a 1, 2, 3, or 4 year problem. It's basically security's been getting a ride off of that underallocated G&A.
I know this is, again, this is John, and I know we can all talk about the philosophy, but remember, back when all this happened, the reason that there was a 2% cap put on the tax was because the district board at the time thought there was no way in the world they could leave that uncapped and get the community to approve it. Because remember, we were moving from a voluntary RMA contribution through dues and other charges to the developer into a tax format that, you know, not all the players were happy with the allocation at the time. And now we're sitting here taking tax money that comes in, and we're subsidizing over and above the 2%. And it's a great time to have the conversation in the community about how it might be possible to fix the problem, if it is possible at all. So I appreciate everybody wanting to work on this, because I think everybody in the community is going to have something to say. And I think, you know, we'll come to a community solution if possible. Thank you.
I want to chime in really quick. This is Tom Hennig. ClearSource Financial Consulting did the cost allocation plan. The recommendation to do a formal plan came from the Poon Group, just for clarity. Thank you.
Copy that. Anybody else from the community?
This is Diana again.
Hi, Diana.
Hi, I'm back. I think John Sullivan's hit on a point that I've kind of been trying to make and not really doing a good job of it, is this needs to be a community-wide discussion to be able to figure out how to solve it and what good ideas we can put into it. And my concern and complaint, if you will, has been that over the 5-6 years this has gone on, we haven't had information going out into the community. And now that we've figured out that we've got this problem and it's been out there for 5-6 years or so, maybe even more, that we need to talk about it and own up to how we backed into it. And I agree, when you see it, you call it. but let people know now, because the bills aren't going up even 2% this year. And a lot of people, if we don't get the conversation started now, we're going to go, everything's copacetic. You know, we're covering all our bills. And we're not. And what we're looking at now in the budget doesn't even cover the stuff that we're having to shove over and pull out of reserve to cover. So my point is, we need to get information out.
Do you mind if I come in for a second?
Sure.
So budgeted to go directly into reserve accounts for next fiscal year is $695,000. And that comes from the $775 from your water bill, from your water meter charge. It comes from $676 that comes out of the sewer charge. And it comes out of the $6 that's generated for the water treatment plant debt service fund. Fund borrowing that we're repaying, but that's basically almost $700,000 going into reserves. And off the top of my head, I think I know it's in the page somewhere, but I don't think we're even hitting reserves for more than $100,000. But again, it's going backwards a little bit, but still we're contributing nearly $700,000 in fees to the reserves.
Okay, I just
want to be clear about that. Yeah,
we. My understanding is we took
taken out.
Yeah, we took the $6 out.
No, we did not.
No.
It went back in?
$6 is staying there, yes.
Oh, okay.
That reduction came from another from another source. It didn't come from the $6.
The reduction came from not raising the rates for water or sewer or water mm-hmm. use. So the water meter, the sewer hookup, and the water use per unit did not get raised. And that's how we stayed at less than 1%.
Okay, but we're over almost $200,000 over sewer. I mean, sewer's not breaking even.
That is correct. And that's something we have to address. This is a very different time. And the request was to be considerate of the people who were affected by this pandemic and how much our economy has changed. Even though it looks like it hasn't really hurt Rancho Murrieta because we're not getting a bunch of requests for payment agreements, I'm sure there's some pain and suffering out there, which is testimony that we got so many letters. And I believe if we would get those letters via email, we probably would have had more than 50% deny any rate increase. So we need to talk about it, we need to be clear about it, and we need to, like Tim said, move forward and address the problem. But this is a one-off year.
Yeah, and as far as being a one-off year, I'm still a little concerned that because COVID-19 isn't resolved and doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime immediately, that tax payments, people may be missing mortgages or getting mortgage extensions, home sales, I think our budget may be not as conservative as it needs to be.
And I understand that, Diane, and I think a couple of things here. Staff has done a great job, and especially the outgoing retiring general manager and the current general manager at identifying where we just did not have information as a district. And the good news is we're getting more efficient. The bad news is there might be some information we don't want to hear, i.e. the cost allocation into security or into drainage, those types of things. So I hear what you're saying, ma'am. That's part of this budget process that we are going to be looking at for the fiscal year 2021 as we move forward. We may not get out of all of this in one fiscal cycle, but at least the process is definitely going to start, and we're going to have a game plan that everybody understands moving forward for the next few fiscal periods specific to these couple items that you're addressing.
I agree. I think they've done a marvelous job having had one budget in March, and all of a sudden we've had to totally redo the budget. And I, with you, applaud them and their work. I'm just a little worried that we're not getting the information out into the community to be able to have people thinking about what's coming down the pipe.
And Diane, this is...
I can't control. I can control that we get the information out because we're very consistent with that. But again, this is an opportunity where the organization is getting more efficient. Our communications committee is getting strides. And so things are going to change on how we're able to do business just because we are getting more efficient.
That's good.
Diane?
Yes.
This is Linda Butler. I'm on the communications committee.
Hi, Linda.
And one of the things that we are working very hard at is getting all kinds of information, not only budget information, but all kinds of information to the community. The community has to respond. and that's not just our community, but in many communities, you know, as long as everything seems to be going along okay, the water still, when you turn the water faucet on, you're still getting water. Everything's hunky-dory, but it isn't always. And so we work and are working very hard at this point to try and get information to the community. The community has to want the information, too. It's just a little something that people do. They, like I said, as long as everything seems okay, they're not saying anything or paying attention.
And that's part of the problem is the bills have been okay. You haven't heard anything that's an issue unless you're looking hard at the numbers. And it's like, okay, we're fine. And it's like we need to raise a flag and say, excuse me, we've discovered
we We appreciate your involvement. Let me tell you that.
Well, thank you. I'll help where I can.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm going to move on to Mr. Clark.
Yes. Just one more comment on the budget issues. Part of the budget maneuvering was to keep the $6 reserve fund in place. But that included moving some cost items from the operational budget to reserve funding. And that was a change. I don't want to call it a sleight of hand, but that's what the board did. They reallocated operational costs to the reserve budgets.
Right.
So I think two things, and I'll address one and then staff can address the other. I don't think there was a sleight of hand. That can be a perception that somebody might have. All of this was done at staff level with the intent of trying to meet what the board of directors wanted to be able to present this budget for the final vote. So yes, did we do what was appropriate to get the budget to this point? We'll find out if it's good enough to get three votes with the current board. But at the end of the day, I want to make it as clear as I can that there was no sleight of hand. There was no intent to deceive from staff or from the board itself.
I've had Amelia bring up the page that talks about the adjustments that were made in the budget between the March Prop 218 budget and the May first reading of the budget.
Yeah.
So we reduced the number of homes we thought that were going to be built because of the downturn, and that in turn reduces income. We increased the cost of the CIA ditch because of a major repair that had to happen on the pipe under Lone Pine Drive. We decreased the reserve by $150,000 to get some really critical work done. And then we decreased the salaries by freezing a vacant raw and recycled water compliance officer position for 2 years in favor of a consultant coming in and doing the work. And that's because we were not getting qualified applicants for that position, and we needed to get the work done. And Paul can answer any of those questions if you'd like. But it was a combination of events, and the issue of the need for the reserves to look at how we do our work with the finances, with the security, and then a reserve study. Those are real critical issues. We also moved some of the equipment that's being purchased for security to the proper security reserve account.
Right.
That, you know, that really is a very simple worksheet of our bullet points of where we made changes between the March budget and the May budget, and the budget you're seeing today.
Right. Yeah, no, I saw those.
Okay. Any other comments from the community? We have item 13, which is consider adoption resolution. I'm sorry, what?
I think we need a vote.
Yeah, so I need a motion for basically approval of the budget for fiscal year 2021. Do I have a motion for the budget?
Yes, this is John. I make that motion as read.
Do I have a second?
I will second it.
Any further discussion?
You need to close the public hearing?
I can close the public hearing. I didn't hear anybody else, so consider it closed.
Tim, yes. Comment.
Oh, yes.
Did you ask for comments?
Yeah, two things. Hold on a second, Randy. Public comment has closed, not hearing any. Now it comes to comment because we have a motion on the table here, and so now we can have some discussion. So please, Randy.
Well, there's some great points being made, and I don't want to just reiterate what other people have said, but I'd like to maybe emphasize some of them. I think Diana's comments were right on target. The biggest problem we have is everybody in the community thinks that the finances for CSD are great because there's nobody telling them anything different than that. Now, we decided not to take the $6 in fees out of the reserve payment, and then we switched it around so that it looks like a minimal increase. And so what we've really done is we've told everybody everything's still great. We're sending the wrong message. You're not gonna be able to get to people and explain the problems to them through newsletters and articles about what's discussed in meetings and financial committee meetings. The $6 could have been used as a wake-up call. I think instead we're basically kicking the can down the street again. I'm going to vote no on it. I think I've made my opinions pretty clear that you can either not take money out of the reserve contributions, or you can change your goals for the board for the year, but you can't do both. You gotta be consistent. In order to change this $6 to a dollar and change increase, we took money out of reserves. At the same time, we're telling the community that our number one goal is reserves. It doesn't make any sense. And the reason why we're doing that is, or what we're saying what we're doing that for, is this COVID thing. But I don't see it. We've had zero shutoffs. I mean, that's been said quite a few times. We've got programs that people can't make their payments. I could see if someone was furloughed or laid off that those might help them. But $6 a month, it's just not, it's it's not going to make the difference to someone that's in that particular instance. I think the 27 letters honestly led to the reduction in the fees. And as I see it, the perception is that people think that CSD has more than enough money available to provide services as is. And they feel like we would just take the additional $6 and waste it. Well, I don't know what waste is, because we don't know where we stand with our reserves, and how we pay for security is so screwed up. It's like you say, it's going to get fixed. And I'm here to say I'm bound and determined that it gets fixed the right way. But in the meantime, unless we communicate, unless we somehow make a splash in the community that we got some major changes coming, and so we're going to need your cooperation, I don't think we're going to get anywhere. And I think by not by changing the budget to show something that isn't true is heading in the opposite direction. That's my comments.
Randy, I don't necessarily disagree with you on a couple of your points. I think now this is my second year as a budget. Last year we really had no information, and because of how the district was, the process that we're undertaking this upcoming fiscal year, we now have a budget tool and a system that can give us the numbers. Now, specifically the number you're talking about in the reserve, you know, we've thrown money at it, and we don't know if we're even close. This is stuff that we inherited. And so to your point, where you want it corrected, you're probably more vocal and direct than I am on it, doesn't mean the board isn't any less passionate. With that said, whether we have a lot of input from the community or not, these items were identified back in February, and direction started to be given to staff at that point. So we're working that direction. It's just, I can't tell you what is security going to look like. I can't tell you what the 21-22 budget is going to look like, because we'll know what our reserve study is and we'll have better numbers. So all I can tell you is this gets us going down that direction to start having some earnest discussion on potentially some reorg of the district. So I don't disagree with you. It's just maybe how we're getting there. You and I may not be on the same page. Any other comments from the board?
I've got one, I'm afraid. I know you closed me out, but I'd like to make one quick comment. And that's that, granted, we just presumably tripped over it and noticed what's been happening. But I think you also need to own up that it's been happening for a number of years, and it would be wrong to come back and say, oh, gee, look at this. All of our problem lies in the fact that we don't have enough in reserves, where reserves have been pilfered from time to time to cover other problems. I think we need to be upfront and honest and look at the whole thing a little historically, as well as where are we now and how do we go from.
Thank you for that comment. And unless I haven't articulated it correctly, that is exactly the direction staff has been given. So I hear everybody's comments. I understand that. Again, exactly how we're going to get there, I truly have no idea. This was not an overnight issue. Either decisions or lack of decisions have been made by prior boards. I can only tell you, and I won't speak for the other board members, but I will tell you as a board, we've already started giving staff direction on where we need to go. I don't know where that need is, and I don't know where the go is, but it shall start in this fiscal cycle coming up. Any other comments from the board?
Tim, I'd like to say, I think you've put it very well, and if anybody has any suggestions for how to communicate more efficiently with the community, we're certainly open to hearing it.
Thank you. Not hearing any more. We have a motion on the table. Amelia, will you do a roll call vote, please?
Yes, I will. President Beebe?
Yes.
Director Janko?
No.
Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Merchant? Director Merchant, are you still
yes,
with us?
Yes, I'm sorry, the mute button, yes.
Okay, thank you, that's item 13. Moving on to item 14, basically this is adoption of all the ordinances and then chapters of the ordinances related to the fiscal year budget that was just adopted. So I'll make the motion that all the ordinances involved in the 2020-02 be accepted as written, and that's my motion. Can I have a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
Tim, this is John.
Yes.
Obviously, if it turns out that we have this FDIC issue gets researched and comes out so that there is, it's well understood and it gets rebated in some form or fashion, we would probably be in the mode where we need to protest the rate that you're adopting on those very same properties that we're talking about. So I don't want to say I'm protesting. I'm just saying, understand that if you don't stop applying the 2% and it needs to go the other way, it's just going to be a bigger gap down the road. So I'm just bringing that to everybody's attention. Thank you.
No, I understood that when I initially started having this discussion back in February, I believe it was with the Country Club. So that's irrespective of this year's budget. That's an ongoing separate one, but I understand what you said, and I was anticipating that. Any other comments from the board? Not hearing any. We have a second. Amelia, roll call vote, please.
President Mabee?
Yes.
Director Janko?
No.
Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Thank you.
That was item 14. Item 15, director comments. I'll open it up to the other directors first.
Tim, I'd just like to follow up and say that I get that. I get where we're at, and I feel a little... I don't know how to explain it, but just stepping into this situation and seeing these problems, I totally get that the board is going to address all this and we're going to do our damnedest to clean this up. But I go back and I say Diana's comments were right on target. We need to get if we don't have the community's backing on this, we're not going to get anywhere, because whatever it takes to, whether that's increasing the security tax, decreasing security services, increasing fees to get the reserve percentages up, whatever the answers that we find out in this process, at some point we're going to need to go to the community and either get their backing or get them to vote for something that we need. So along with finding the answers in this coming year, we have to somehow get the word out that these problems exist and that we're working on them, but there isn't going to be an easy answer, and it may very well be a little bit painful to solve some of this stuff. So, and I don't know what that is, but if all we're going to do is stick this on the website, put it in a newsletter, try and word of mouth it or whatever, I just believe in the end we're going to fail. So I'm not smart enough to figure it out how to do it, but that's something that needs to be out there on the table.
Randy, I'll answer a couple of items there. You're absolutely right. And I've had some pretty earnest discussion with the general manager, and this just isn't a budgetary issue. This is a educational issue to the community. And it's going to be one where, again, at the end of the day, it can be dollars and cents, but there is going to be some emotion and some education that has to take place. So it's just not going to be a process that deals just purely on the budgeting side, but exactly what you said. It's an all-encompassing how we're going to get the information out there. And as we work through and start identifying things, it very well could be, Randy, that we come across what our reserve study says, and that's a bigger crisis than the security one. I just don't know. And as we work that through, that's going to be the game planning of how we move this whole process forward. But the way you said it, staff completely understands it as we're getting ready to go into this fiscal cycle. Other board members.
Yeah, this is John. There's the two issues here of reserves and security. I think it was back in 2012 when they did the last reserve study, and I remember sitting in the audience when it was received by the consultant who presented it, and it was given a 5-minute question and answer period and put away and never dealt with. I've read that twice, and I agree and have agreed since I ran for this thing in 2014 that it was a priority item for us to conquer it. And I don't think that has changed. But one of the things that's different about reserves and security, and I agree, somebody's got to come up with an effective way to pitch this to the public so they get it, is that at least with the reserves, you've got a $10 million fund there looking forward. And once we deem what the appropriate percentage is going to be, that we're going to reserve to, and we identify what in fact we really have to reserve for, and we've done this before, twice that I recall, and maybe not in a sophisticated way like I'd like to see us do it now, we will have a period of time to work into that, understanding that we have payback money for where we borrowed to build the water plant. We have reserves that we can take going forward, and we have a $10 million budget to work with to do reserve items as we fix it. So the potential of fixing that problem over a longer period of time is probably real. the problem with security is a totally different animal. And if you look at what, there's an interesting, and you can find it on our website, Emil, you could maybe highlight it. You know, we did a pretty dismal survey on security back, I think it was in 2014. And the only meaningful thing that came out of it was the questions that were asked at the end of it. And basically the tenure of that, when you go through it, is what the public wants, what our ratepayers want from security is more and more and more service. And what they are willing to pay for it is minimal or not at all. So I think one of the things that I tried to at least stipulate in the beginning was understanding where we are. And we have, I don't know what the count is now with the new houses, but we got about 2,700, 2,800 ratepayers. And that's been a slow climb to that number. It's a little better now than it has been. But what you're dividing through that, along with some commercial entity, is now $2 million worth of security charges. So it's costing, and I think it's a good context to consider, it's costing $2 million to service 2,800 people in a shopping center. I mean, that's a lot of money. And I think what happens is, when you start to identify, if you ask 10 people what that means to them, they're going to tell you it doesn't, you know, $2 million good. I want you to spend $3 million. Or somebody's going to say, what? I don't really need this. I could do with half of what we're getting. So you're going to have to get context on what it is we're really supposed to provide before we start wondering how much money it's going to cost to fix it. Because ultimately you're going to put this in a referendum and it's going to be an all or nothing deal. Somebody's going to have to figure out that what if the referendum doesn't get the 66%, what do we do next? So it is a little bit more complicated than what it appears on top. And I think some of the money that we've spent and the allocating of property tax revenue, is probably dictated by the pressure that gets exerted in the community to provide more and more and more security. So it's a twofold problem, not nearly, I think, neither as easy, but certainly not as easy as fixing reserves will be once we really understand how much money is going to be required to do it. This is a whole different game. I mean, you know, we're going to have to understand what it is we're supposed to provide before we really figure out how much money it's going to cost to provide it. And everybody understands that it's broken, and everybody understands that it needs to get fixed. But I guess first we need to answer the question, what is it we're really fixing here? What do they want us to do?
Well, and I don't disagree with you, John. It's here. This board is going to address it. And as we peel back the layers of the onion here on this, it's going to be a multi-step process, but it shall be dealt with. I've said my piece. Linda, do you have any closing comments?
Well, I think that the community needs to pay attention. And when we give them information, it's not enough that we're doing everything that we can. They have to also pay attention. And John Merchant, I totally agree with you. You know, the security issue is something that we've wrangled with for a very long time on various and assorted boards in various and assorted situations. And you can't have your cake and eat it too. There has to be funds in order to support the security that people want. And it just is more expensive. It's more complicated than it ever was before. And I would also ask the community, you know, make our life a little easier by trying to abide by the rules and the regulations and making the kinds of
day-to-day decisions on how fast to drive and all that other stuff. You know, that some of that comes from the community. Why are we having to do so much work at regulating things like that? People need to step up and be responsible.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
This is Diana again. I'd like to raise one more point, and that's that security we're not funding, but the question comes back to the board, and I don't know how long some of you have served on the board at various times over the years, but the question comes back to, we gave you a Measure J and a percentage, and somewhere along the line, it got thrown out, and nobody said anything to anybody, and they just kept growing security. And now they come back and say, oh, well, golly gee, we're in this big hole. And if you want the people to be with you, you're going to have to own up to how we got here. That's it.
Thank you. I'll leave it with that. I've already addressed that. A couple of items.
Staff comment, Tim?
Go ahead.
Just to Diana. Diana, over the years, this is Jeff, the chief. Security's actually decreased. There was more officers on duty. They actually had a lieutenant. They had two sergeants. And now we're down to one chief, one sergeant, and four officers on patrol. So the cost increase, as the board has stated, is strictly just the cost of doing business. It has not increased at all. If anything, over the years, it's decreased staffing-wise. That's all.
Yeah, but once
well, now this is John. This is John Sullivan.
Hold on. Stop, please. We are at item 15. It is director's comments. We have had the public hearing portion, so I appreciate everything. This is one of the tougher board meetings we have every year on the calendar. So it's being addressed. This is the board director comments. And so I'm gonna close it out with thanking staff for, at all levels, for the job that they do getting this budget done. I wanna wish everybody a safe and sane 4th of July. And as we move forward, whether it's Mr. Sullivan, Diane, Mr. Clark, that have all put input, we're gonna have that opportunity. I assure you, from that standpoint. But we're at the director comment suggestion phase, so we're closing out the board meeting. So unless it's something extremely pertinent, I would say staff and this board is gonna be reaching out to people as we move forward. Item 16, can I have a motion for adjournment?
I move that we adjourn.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Can I have a roll call vote, please?
And let me confirm that was you, Randy, that seconded the motion?
Yes, ma'am.
Director Mabee.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Thank you very much for joining me.
Amelia, thank you for everything.